So I'd love to know, you guys had the screening last night. How did it go last night?
It was truly extraordinary. You know, standing ovation, the whole thing. It's really interesting. Whenever you have a foreign language movie, you know, I mean, the movie was extremely well received in Israel. It was like really, really well reviewed, big box office hit, and you show it in a different country. And it was astounding. You know, I did a Q&A afterwards. Like 90% of the audience stayed for the Q&A, which is kind of rare, I guess. And they loved the movie. It was great.
So, looking at this story, I know with your team, you have the same DP normally, the same editor that worked with you on The Matchmaker and your previous film, Past Life. What's it like when you were diving into this story? Because I feel like compared to those two stories, this is a different feel for you. I don't think we've seen necessarily some of the stuff in this film that we've seen in your previous work.
Well, you know, this is you know, it's first of all, it's about a family. It's a father and daughter story, and I have a very close relationship with my own daughter. It's a very, very personal story. It takes place in today's Israel. It deals with some of the very acute issues that, you know, trouble Israelis as well as myself. But more importantly, you know, it's about, you know, the way your children feel about you, the way you try to keep them near you. So this was a very, very personal thing.
Well, with that in mind, I've got to ask, I know there are some elements that were taken from, like you said, acute issues in Israel that were from real stories, like the cult stuff. Can you talk about the writing process for you for this film? Was it easier to have the true story stuff first, or did you start from more of the, like you said, the more personal father-daughter relationship? Which came first in the writing for you?
I'll tell you first a funny story that happened to me at the Toronto Film Festival, where the movie had its world premiere. You know, it was my first time in a row at Toronto, and you know, the movies have been well received and got great reviews. So when you go up at the end of screening to do the Q&A, you can identify many of the critics in the audience, and there's one very famous critic, I will not tell you his name, who just got up and left in a huff. And you go, oh my God, this guy really hated the movie and strange. So I do the Q&A, I get off stage, he comes back and he hugs me and he says, great movie, amazing movie. I go, why did you leave? And he says, your fault. And I say, why is it my fault? And he says, normally when he watches a movie, he sees every festival three or four movies, and he can pretty much identify the technique or the formula or the genre that the filmmaker uses. And, you know, and he identifies 10 minutes in which the plot will not advance, and then he goes to the bathroom and comes back. And he said, in this movie, I mean, he was riveted, but he could not identify, you know, the exact genre or the exact rules of the game, and he was completely taken by the story, but it didn't have any rules that he was familiar with. And he asked me, how did you do it? And I said, simple. It's based on a true story. And life just had its own course. So to answer your question, I wrote this story with a really interesting person, a man called Dr. Noam Spencer, who's a psychologist. And to a large extent, this is his story. You know, I mean, he is like the, you know, the male protagonist in the movie, the one who left the daughter and the wife and has the complicated relationship. And it's really interesting when you write a screenplay with a psychologist, because in a way you're analyzing him and you feel all the time that you should be charging him for the service, actually. but again, all the twists and turns were taken from a true story. This story about the cult is totally true. Actually, the people, you know, that are in that scene, the ritual scenes, are all members of this cult. And I told the high priestess that I don't want to direct the scene. She should do it the way they always do it, and I will just film it. So what you see on screen is a direct reproduction of the way it really is.
Wow, that's amazing. So I've got to ask, I know in your previous films the composition of music is very important. I know it's been, when I've watched it, your music has definitely stood out. Can you talk about how important the music is in this film, and Do you write with music playing?
Yeah, I do. It's really interesting that you should say that. I used to be a musician. I was a jazz musician. I don't think I was very good, but I was very enthusiastic. And for me, I need to understand the music of a film before I can write it. Because for me, music is the soul of a movie. And the right music allows you to do a lot of things and not spell them out. And I really hate films that kind of tell it the way it is, you know, and just lay out the narrative and do the exposition and tell the story. And for me, of course, you're familiar with the old story about Bernard Herrmann and Psycho, and the scene in which Janet Leigh is driving for 4 minutes and the story is being told solely through the music. So I have to understand the music before I write, and then I'm just really open to music coming into the movie as I'm making it. For example, the guy who plays the groom, you know, the musician who has become religious, is one of Israel's biggest pop stars, and he's really religious. And when we started working, I rehearsed for a long time, and I created the characters with the actors, and he was so much into it, he started writing songs, you know, through the voice of the character. And the songs were extraordinary, and I wound up using the songs in the movie because I thought that the songs tell you things about the character that you can never use words to tell them. And then when we did the score with the great French composer Cyril Ofor, I think we just won the Emmy this year, he came in late in the game, but he also wrote the score for my previous movie, Past Life. And, you know, we spend a great deal of time working on scenes and working on orchestrations. And for me, writing music for film is like writing a screenplay with all the subtleties and complexities. And I actually use musical terms when writing. I use a lot of counterpoint. I use a lot of harmonizing. You know, I really see a film as a musical piece.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you got to film in Israel. As far as what you've seen over the last few decades in the change in the government view of the importance of film in the country, do you feel that Israeli film right now is in a tough spot, in a good spot? How would you define Israeli film today?
Well, Israeli cinema has enjoyed extraordinary two decades. You know, some really, really fine movies have come out of Israeli cinema. The last couple of years have been difficult because there's been a clash between the Israeli film establishment and the Ministry of Culture. But again, you know, that thing is to be expected. I don't know if you know this, but in Israel, there's this thing every year, every Independence Day, where 12 individuals are chosen to light the torch of independence. In Israel, it's the highest honor extended. It's like being knighted in the UK. And I was chosen this year. It's the first time a filmmaker has ever been chosen to do this. And I asked those people, why did it take so long? There have been some really great filmmakers before me, actually. And it's really interesting. The government, you know, likes to tell one version of the story. And, you know, filmmakers tell a different version. And there's almost an uneasy coexistence between film artists and government. And in a place like Israel, where the government is very instrumental in providing funds for cinema, obviously the government would like you to tell a certain story, and you don't want to do it. I mean, you want to tell your story. So, you know, the name of this movie, The Other Story, is kind of symptomatic of the basic struggle between the two different strands of storytelling within this given society.
So amazing. Mr. Nasher, I'd love to ask, as far as your writing, are you stuck on one project at a time, or do you write multiple projects? I feel like you take your time in making your films, but as far as your ideas, they always seem so fleshed out when they're finished. Are you already working on something new, or is it something you have to separate the times in your writing?
Well, you know, I always write about things that trouble me, and I always write about things that I would like to know more about, and I would like things that I think I need to get a better understanding of my own life or of my country's life. I always have like four or five projects going on at the same time. And at a given point, one project becomes the right project. And then I become really, really obsessed with it, and it becomes a 24/7 kind of preoccupation. And basically, you know, I spent the next 2 years, you know, doing just that. But I always take little notes, and, you know, I meet people on planes and trains, and people send me things. And by the time I'm done with the movie, you know, my desk is full of little notes of things I might be interested in. And the funny thing is, when I finished this movie, The Other Story, I was really exhausted. You know, it was a very complex movie to be doing in a very complex time in Israel's history. And I told myself I really want to take a year off. And then we went to Toronto, and the reception there was so great that when I was on the plane back to Israel, I began writing, you know, a new screenplay on the plane. You know, so it's just a very, very emotional thing. And it's just, I believe, you know, I kind of really see theaters as houses of prayer, because the great thing about cinema is, you know, it's a place where hundreds of people can congregate and share one narrative and one belief system, which is so rare nowadays because, you know, society is so fragmented. So for me, when I write something, I really think that I'm having a conversation with the whole nation, with a whole given society. And it's always about something that really troubles me. And I think movies should not provide answers, but rather ask questions. And that's the way I try to go about that.
Wonderful. For my final question, Mr. Nesher, the festival is doing the retrospective as well, not only showing this wonderful movie, The Other Story, but they're showing films from your past. I'm curious, is it easy to watch your films, or is it difficult to watch your films?
Well, you know, I make it a point never to watch my films. Every now and then, I kind of get stuck watching part of them, and I have great affection for them. But I really think one should make films as though one has just started out, and the movie you're making now is your very first movie. You know, I mean, when people call me very professional, I get offended, because I don't see filmmaking as a profession. I see it as an obsession or as a passion, and I think it must come from great devotion to this movie that you do, the way only a very young filmmaker can do it. So I try to pretend each time that I've never made a movie before I make the one I'm working on now.
Well, I as one of your fans and someone who's seen your movie and loved your work, I hope you never lose that that obsession quality. I hope you always have it and continue to make films. So thank you so much, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for this conversation.
Awesome. Avi, have a wonderful day, and have a great time in New York. Thank you.